Welcome to Comedy at the Carlson Cast. This is not Nick Lavasser, Brian Ball, with your host, the surprisingly agile Vinny Paulino.
Light on my feet.
Me, the amazing and talented and wonderful Brian Ball.
Get back in your hole.
And not Nick Lavasser. He's out enchanting hippies.
You already did
somewhere.
That joke.
We didn't use that take, though. And our guest, Carly Aquilino.
I'm excited for that.
Kick it over to Vinny.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast.
That it is.
It is. I'm very excited to be here. It is a beautiful, beautiful day in Rochester, New York, and it's even more beautiful inside of the greatest comedy club in America, Comedy at the Carlson.
It is. It's wonderful. It's temperate.
Moderate. Moderate and temperate.
Yeah, yeah.
The way
yeah.
we like it.
Yeah.
The way it should be.
Yeah.
And funny.
Yep. It's in the Goldilocks zone.
Except in here.
As they would say if it was space.
It's in the what now?
The Goldilocks zone. The habitable zone.
What is this Space Force talk?
I'm pitching. I'm trying to get in there.
You were in the Air Force.
I was. I'm.
You are a veteran.
I'm mildly qualified for that.
You're the only veteran who really deserves no thanks for his service.
No, none at all. I mostly watch television is mostly what I do.
Yeah, we've had this conversation many times.
Yep.
His job is to sit there and like answer phones when people would call in UFO reports
yeah.
and just like blow them off.
Yep,
that's the guy.
And wait for the world to crack in half. That was kind of my job. That was it.
Because
man,
it's hollow in
the
aliens.
UFO?
Yep. Have I seen one? I don't know. Maybe.
I should probably introduce. Sitting in for Nick Lavasser today is not Nick Lavasser. It's Cam Tiller.
It's more camera-friendly Cam Tiller.
That's why they call him Cam, baby. Yeah. Look at that face.
It stands for camera-friendly.
You know what we're just going to call him?
My mother always told me I'd find my calling.
Don't get ahead of yourself. Now, honestly, I like this kid because he doesn't look as homeless as Nick.
Not as homeless, no. Mildly homeless, but in that kind of cool hipster way. Is he okay kind of way.
Like I could see Cam rocking a monocle and a unicycle going down South Ave. See that.
Absolutely. Top hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's
ship has sailed. I do not have the equilibrium for a unicycle.
Yeah, it's too bad.
You're selling yourself short, kid.
Well.
You said you haven't found that calling yet. Maybe you ought to try it.
Monocle, unicycle, noted.
Got it. So Brian used to blow off all the people who report UFO sightings for the United States government.
Yep. No, we'd record their phone calls and laugh at them later.
All right.
That was fun.
So I just want everybody who believes in UFOs, Tom DeLonge from Blink 182, you need to call this man immediately.
Yeah.
So, yep. Cool. What a great warden. I also, let's see, we got so many cool things happening today. A couple things that need to be announced. One of the things that I'd like to congratulate you, Brian.
Oh, yeah? What did I do?
Nothing. Literally nothing except for have a child.
I did not kill a child.
You did not kill a child.
Yep.
And that child, your son Parker, is graduating today, man.
Yes, congratulations. It's a nice graduation. Yay.
Woo!
And I know he watches the show, so I just want to say, Parker, good job. You're not my problem anymore. I just want to get that out there to him.
Aww.
So he knows. Yeah.
You know what I'm going to say?
I'm done now. I raised him.
I'm going to say congratulations to Parker. Your father lost a quiz game to an 8-year-old last week. And that
Badly.
Is where you come from.
Badly.
So congratulations. You did good for what you had to work with.
Yep.
All right. You ready for the big announcement? The one thing I have not been able to wait to talk about all week.
Can I draw a letter or should I?
Hit my computer screen, Cam. We are now available on Spotify.
Woo! The future is here.
Huzzah!
5 years ago is here.
Back to me. Hey, so I'm very excited to say that. And I have to take a second because we don't do it enough on the show just to thank everybody who subscribed to us.
Absolutely.
Seriously, 100%. We love you guys. You mean the world to us. That's what we do this show for you and because we're contractually obligated to. So for you. And the contracts.
And we get to meet famous people.
And we get to meet famous people that we frankly shouldn't be allowed to speak with.
No, yeah.
So you are helping us make our dreams come true, and we really appreciate you for that. So thank you for those who are listening on iTunes, you YouTubers. We're picking up new subscribers every day, so we're thankful for that. And if you haven't subscribed yet, check us out on YouTube. And it's a fun way to catch up on old episodes and all that good stuff. And now if you're a Spotify user or you know somebody who's on Spotify, get the audio version if you haven't. So we're very excited for that. We really appreciate you guys.
We may just be randomly showing up in people's car speakers who have no idea what we are. Because you hit that, like, listen to similar thing, and it makes the playlist. We may be surprising someone in a Prius.
So someone right was now. Like, in a Prius, was like listening to toilet sounds.
Yeah. It's like, you may also like.
You may also like this crap.
Well, this is a good show.
Yeah, I would say so.
Something
we try
like that.
This is a good show.
If Cam yells out one more insulting thing about this show,
yeah. Our old show was okay to make.
I know you're a good-looking guy.
This is a good show.
But this is all we got, Cam.
It's the way I show affection. It's a flaw in myself. I'm sorry.
All right. All right. So we got that going on, and contest season is upon us.
It is.
We should let you folks that are listening to the audio version know about this, that we are going to be off the next 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have any shows the next 2 weeks. We have the Funniest Person in Rochester contest happening at the club, so we hope that you can make it for that. But we'll be back in 2 weeks with Mr. Tom Green.
Yeah.
So for those of you who
our lighting designer, Tom Green.
Our lighting designer.
He's finally making it in the world. We're quite proud of him.
Yeah, we're glad to have him back because we need to adjust this.
Yeah.
I still don't look any better, so we need to fix this. Yeah. The guests look better. Me.
He's not a makeup artist. He's a lighting designer.
That's true. That's true. Either way, I brought some Revlon shit, and we'll try to figure it out. We'll see what happens.
He's a man of many talents. He might be able to pull it off. I don't know.
I'll put your makeup on for you, Vinny.
That's the worst Tom Green I've ever heard.
Sorry.
I think it's the best. Now, I also have to say that we are going to put out a brand new Best Of episode this week. We're going to take some piece together, some clips, and interesting, funny stories of things people have said on the show. So keep an ear out or an eye out, because it's going to come out, and you'll enjoy it. And you may have missed some of the stuff. We're going to find some really cool, funny, different little nuggets to put in there, and we hope you enjoy it. But we'll be back with Tom Green, and let's just do our sponsors and take a break. And Carly Aquilino is going to be in here, who, by the way,
as if by magic,
is a killer.
Yeah,
she's good, man.
Yeah, I watched a lot of clips. I was not able to make it last night, but
well, I don't always come out on Thursdays. I should more often because we interview the people the next day. But I like to go in fresh.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went and watched her show last night, and man, she's an effortless killer. Just an effortless killer. That's all I can say about her set. So I'm very excited to talk to her. Let's do sponsors. Bada bing. Hit that screen, Cam.
Hit it with your fist.
Working on it.
Cam, the computer, Cam.
Hey, I'm working on it.
What are you working on?
I can't find it.
Watching computer, you freaking Momo.
Bad.
There we go.
Ah!
Don't call him a Momo. He's a handsome boy, and he just started.
Greater Rochester's finest Olivet's Catering. Sapori,
a place
baby.
Where you won't find any Momos.
Absolutely not. Not anymore. you can check out Sapori for graduation showers, weddings, birthday, corporate events, backyard barbecues, and more. Their catering services are out of sight. And if you just want to have some really, really good food and lunch, get down to that cafe, baby, inside the Powers Building atrium.
And it's a beautiful setting. We don't bring that up often.
It is a beautiful setting. It's absolutely...
It's indoors, but
it's indoors,
not.
And it's got the skylights. Yeah. You can see outside. We're selling it pretty good. We're selling it thick. At Sapori Rochester on Instagram. Find them on Facebook. And if you need a caterer, you're doing pretty good for yourself if you call Sapori.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming up next, our good friends over at Three Heads Brewing. I'll tell you what I'm excited for. There is Subsoil is going to be playing at the brewery next Thursday if you are a Rochester music fan. That's
Who?
A Subsoil.
Not familiar.
What are you stepping over a plug for? You great, really are new.
Great story.
Great, Cam. I'm glad you don't know who they are.
I'm sorry.
That's a great way to help us sell them. I don't know who they are. I never heard of them.
I know who they are.
I mean, and Brian has a kid who's graduated high school.
Yeah.
He's practically in a nursing home.
Staring down the barrel of my own mortality, and I know who they are.
ThreeHeadsBrewing.com. You ever heard of them, Cam?
Yes, definitely. They
Hold on, Cam. Let's see. Let's see what else you got here. Cam, you ever heard of Iron Smoke Whiskey?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, good. We're glad.
Oh, good, Cam. Can you tell? Is there anything?
Their marketing's working.
Good, good. Have you heard that they have two varieties of whiskey, Cam?
Very familiar.
You heard about that?
The most familiar.
They have Applewood Smoked Whiskey, And they also have Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey.
Mm-mm.
Which is super easy to remember.
Which is super easy to remember because it tastes like dessert that gets you drunk. It's amazing.
It is delicious.
It is. You know what? I was telling people around Thanksgiving time.
Thanksgiving argument in a bottle.
I like to think it just makes Thanksgiving tolerable. But it's July or June. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's summertime.
Cam, have you heard of Thanksgiving? IronSmokeWhiskey.com, everybody.
He hasn't heard of Thanksgiving. He's not Jewish.
I guess we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Carly Aquilino. Stay tuned.
Woo!
Hey, everybody. It's your buddy Vinny here. I want to remind you to check out our summer schedule here at Comedy at the Carlson. This weekend, we have the fantastic Carly Aquilino. Watched her show last night. She's a killer. Tom Green, July 13th and 14th. Ryan Hamilton, you may have checked out his last Netflix special, July 20th and 21st. Thea Bedell, Mama Benjamin, coming to town July 27th and 28th. Greg Fitzsimmons, August 3rd and 4th. Just added Rich Voss, August 9th through 11th. We're sorry. Adele Givens, August 16th through the 18th. Also just added Marlon Wayans, August 23rd through the 25th. Robert Powell III is going to be here August 30th and September 1st. Gary Gulman will be here September 6th through 8th. Hope to see you at a show sometime soon. If you'd like to get tickets, you can just visit carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4-COMEDY. Who knows, by the time you look, there might have been some other great shows added. Everybody, thanks for watching the Comedy at the Carlson cast. Make sure to watch us every Friday on Facebook Live or find us on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. You could also find us in the Google Play Store, iTunes, and YouTube Live every Friday. We doing? Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I hope everyone can hear me right now. We've been having nothing but technical nonsense going
last
on all day.
Last minute technical nonsense.
Oh, literally. I'm coughing up blood. I'm literally about to just lose my mind. But Carly Aquilino is going to be here in just a minute.
And she'll be a ray of sunshine.
She seems like a ray of sunshine.
She does, yes.
Just exactly what I need right now.
Never met the woman, but she seems like
so much caffeine I've had today.
Joyous person, yeah.
And so the live stream got messed up. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness! I'm flustered.
Curse the interwebs!
Curse the interwebs!
Rochester's infrastructure is crumbling.
Yeah, man.
I had no power for 8 hours last night in 2018.
That's great. Carly Aquilino is going to be here in a minute, and I'd rather discuss her than you.
Yes.
Actress. Comedian from New York, a quite an interesting backstory, and how she got into comedy, and she'll be in here in just a second.
I'm very excited to talk to her about Girl Code and how that show works.
You know, I've never really thought about it. How much improv do you think goes into that?
That's what I want to know.
Is it? Because it seems very off the cuff, and they all seem very funny.
Yeah.
And I also, seem to recall every time we've had female performers in here and I say, you know, who's funny, her name always comes up.
It does.
always often, comes out.
Especially anyone from New York area.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's going to be four shows this weekend. You can get your tickets now. Call 5854-COMEDY or visit carlsoncomedy.com. And, hey!
She's here.
Good morning. Carly's here. Yeah, how you doing? Good morning.
I'm good, thank you.
You
is this how it goes?
You don't have to get it super close.
Oh, yeah. I don't have to. I could just leave it like that.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. This is a great mic.
Sit back, relax.
Yeah.
There's water for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see. Does Carly look good on camera? Oh,
no,
my gosh.
She doesn't.
Like $1 million compared to everybody else in the room. You're doing just fine. Trust me.
Comparatively speaking.
Thank you. Thank you.
So it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know what we were just saying before you came in?
What?
This is our 47th episode.
Wow.
And it's an odd number, so we're not celebrating yet.
Right. Almost at 50.
Almost there. We've had a lot of comedians come in, and we always say, who's funny right now out of New York? Would you like to know how many times your name has come up?
Oh, cool.
On this show? Like,
that's
before
awesome.
You're here, before you're even scheduled, people have been talking you up.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. That makes me feel great.
At least 5 or 6 times. That's come up.
I was
really?
Going to say 47, but you lowballed it. So
Right. Well, you don't want me to get too cocky.
Question.
Yeah.
It's a very specific question.
Actually, we really like to build people up.
Yeah.
So we really like to start off on a good foot like that.
You say that to everybody?
Yeah. No, I don't. I really don't. Trust me, I don't.
No, he can be quite bitchy sometimes. Yeah.
It's a solid.
It's early in the morning.
So this is not quite the weirdest start to a show we've ever had, but our live stream crashed. All sorts of things happened.
Oh, wow.
And so we came back from break, and then you weren't here, and I was a bit of a bumbling, stumbling idiot for a minute.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It's not you. It's not you. It's completely me. And I want to remind everybody, real quick, before we get too far into this, I didn't even mention it, that the text line is open. If you have questions for Carly, 585-484-0265. Feel free to text them in right now. Carly, you're originally from Brooklyn, New York.
I'm originally from Long Island. I live in Brooklyn now.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I moved to Brooklyn.
Big difference.
Yeah, when I was a teenager, about 18, I moved to Brooklyn.
All right. So you grew up on Long Island.
Yeah.
You're,
fun times.
You're in your 20s.
Yes, I'm 27.
You're 27. I'm just saying you're in your 20s. You're living in New York. You're one of the hottest names in stand-up comedy.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and you know it. I don't need to say it. And you're playing this club. We're excited to have you here. But what I really want to know from you is why, when you were filming Girl Code, did you keep your job at a hair salon? That's what I want to know. You've done so well for yourself. Why were you working in a hair salon?
That's a great question. I worked at the hair salon until season 3 of Girl Code.
Season 4, you were done.
Season 3. Yeah, I think the beginning of season 3, I was like, I think I could leave. But it's so weird because the first season, I didn't know if it was going to last.
Right.
So I was like, you know, you never know if a show is going to do well, stuff like that. So I was like, I'm not going to quit my job, because I also worked as a receptionist. My job was like cushy. Mm-hmm. I like went in whenever I wanted. They were cool about it. It wasn't a great hair salon, to be fair.
Okay.
Like, probably a good hair salon, they would be like, no, you need to be here at a certain time. They were kind of like, whatever.
What does that say about the state of the business when working at a not great hair salon?
Yeah. Is ideal.
Is ideal over MTV.
It's luxurious, to be honest. But yeah, and then season 2, I still kind of stayed there because I just wanted to make sure. I was so nervous that it was going to all end that I was like, I just got to keep working. And I was the only person on the show that kept working until the 3rd season.
That's like, I can't even get over
it's
that.
So dumb.
It's
so dumb.
You know, I had a conversation with a guy who, in all essence, has been doing stand-up less than a year.
Yeah.
Less than a year.
Quit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Should. We should all. Everyone should get out of this business as fast as humanly possible.
No, but I'm saying he quit his job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, you know, I'm just going to take a crack. And I'm like, dude, you live in Rochester.
Yeah.
And
you just have to be careful because you don't know. Comedy is so up and down that you really don't know. You're like, oh, you could have one good month and then one bad month. So I was like, I just want my, you know, minimum wage job that I get to sit at a desk. Also, I was the worst receptionist because I'm dyslexic. So I was like, they should have fired me. They really should have.
Isn't that like against the ADA? They can't fire you for that.
I know, right?
Yeah. Once you're in there, you're in there.
Yeah, exactly. I tricked them. But every time I write down a phone number, they knew to just dial it in backwards because I can't hear something and write it down.
No fool.
It's always going to be upside down, backwards.
They were never like trying to just push you out the door. You're at MTV. Yeah. They were never like, why don't you go back to VTM?
Yeah.
Go back to VTM and leave us alone.
That's probably why they were like, yeah, come in whenever you want, or don't.
Right?
Or never come in. We don't care.
Because really, it's kind of a wash.
Yeah.
Really. As far as productivity levels
yeah,
go.
Yeah. I was actually inconveniencing them. Yeah. I was really inconveniencing them.
I just think that's such an interesting mentality, and I really respect it.
Thank you.
Because, like, it is such a grind of a business. And
yeah.
I feel like people get very starstruck. And you weren't just doing stand-up, you were doing television.
Yeah, people would walk by, because my desk was in the front of the hair salon. It was these big windows. Uh-huh. And people would walk by and come in and be like, are you on TV? And I would be like, yes.
Would you
and
like
I work here,
you're,
too.
You're ruining the illusion for everyone.
I know. Actually, one of the times before we had even aired, this lady walked by the hair salon and then came in, and she was like, are you going to be on a show called Girl Code? And I'm like, what? Like, who are you? Like, how did you know that? Because it was before it was even on TV. And it was like the head of MTV's wife. And she had seen like clips of the show, or she had seen
so
episodes
now
of the show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where MTV stands. The president's wife goes
the president's
to the not
wife.
Good
salon. Well, so no, she was walking by with their baby. Okay. She was walking by with their baby and came in. And I was like, oh, hi, how are you? You know, like just trying to, I thought she was a client, but she wasn't. She, because I had that bright hair that she was like, I can't believe this is happening right now. And I was like, trust me, I'm mortified.
That bright red hair is quite a trademark.
Yeah. Yeah. People still don't know that I changed it. It's been like 4 years.
Good for you.
3-4 years. Wow. People are still like, sometimes I'll get up on stage and people are like, what happened to your hair? I'm like, it looks like shit now. So
still
thank
here.
You.
Still here.
Well, what made you get rid of it?
I had it for so long. Yeah. I had it for so long. It was such a pain in the ass. It was like every like 3 weeks I had to get it done, and it stopped being fun. And also crazy hair colors like that actually stain everything. Like I couldn't wear white. I had all my like sheets were stained, my comforter, my towels.
Your room just looked like a bloody mess.
Yeah, it looked like a murder scene all the time. If it would rain, I would get red on my shirt.
Right.
Like so bad.
So
really
you were
bad.
Basically like Tobias from Arrested Development, just leaving
right.
weird marks all over
yeah,
the house.
Yeah, handprints. So you knew where I was.
Oh, God. But no, I mean, it's such an interesting idea, and it's quite a statement. Like, it definitely sets you apart from other
yeah,
people when you did
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'm glad that
who
I...
Who needs a gimmick?
Yeah, at the time, I didn't realize that it would stand out so much, I guess, because maybe I was used to it because I worked in hair salons forever, so everybody kind of had crazy hair.
Sure.
So I didn't know that it was going to be like a trademark,
it's
like you said. Yeah. And then when I changed it, I was like, I'm ready. I'm ready it's to done. Deal with it. Yeah.
Well, your hair looks lovely.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Where did you first start watching stand-up? Like, how did you first find out stand-up was a thing?
My parents always really liked to watch stand-up. So I watched a lot with them when I was a kid. I always loved watching stand-up when I was a kid. And then they love, like, Sebastian Maniscalco, naturally.
Right.
Because he's, first of all, he's amazing. He's one of my favorite comedians ever.
He's quite good.
He's so good. He's so funny. And you just love him. He's one of those guys, it's like, you just love him the second he starts talking.
You kind of lose time watching him, I think.
Right. Because he's so relatable. I think that's the best part about him is that he, like, can relate. But they especially relate to him because they're Italian.
Yeah.
So they're like, and also my mom's maiden name is Maniscalco. So
oh,
she
I know
would
how
be
that
like,
goes.
That's my maiden name. Like, she always said it.
Did you ever get him in a room together?
No, but I met him and I was like, my mom's maiden name is Maniscalco and she tells everybody because of you. And he was like, oh, cool. But it would be cool if we were related, but we're not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it would be a stretch.
Yeah.
It would be. So, like, your parents were into it. Were they, like, watching The Tonight Show and stuff like that, or?
Yeah, they would watch, like, late-night talk shows, and they watch a lot of, like, comedy specials.
Okay.
Yeah, they watch, like, Comedy Central, like, you know, like, the half hours and stuff like that.
All right, so your parents are watching it.
Yeah.
And it's just stuck with you? It just, I mean, at some point, it planted a seed in your brain that you actually got on a stage and did it.
Yeah, it's so weird. I don't know when I always thought it was interesting. I always thought it was cool.
Right.
Like, comedians were cool. I always felt that way. But yeah, I don't know when it really clicked for me. I would write stuff for years. I would like write sketches or like just funny ideas that I had and didn't know if anything would ever come of it. And then, yeah, I just was like, screw it. I work at a hair salon. I have so much free time because I never go to work. And I can do whatever I want.
Because of your flexible schedule.
Yeah, I have a very leisure. I have a very leisurely life.
You live a life of leisure.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I was like, what a good time to start doing stand-up. Then I did it.
See, what's so interesting to me here is that you were actually just writing stuff for years and just not doing anything with it.
Which, thank God, I didn't. Because the stuff that I was writing when I first started writing, I mean, I didn't know how to like compose a joke. I didn't know that there's like a setup and a punchline. So I would just write down funny ideas or sketches. But it's like, I remember, thank God I didn't go up on stage and do those things.
We probably wouldn't be sitting
you
here now.
You wouldn't, because it was so bad. Like, you know how people are like, oh, I had years of like just bad jokes.
Yeah.
I still did. But it's like, those were the, whoo, thank God I never did those on stage.
I don't know, Vic and I were great, right, the first time we got on stage, I think.
Yeah, of course, right? crushed it, right?
Yeah. No.
You were crushing it. I can already tell.
The only thing I was crushing was the things that hold up the stage.
Yeah.
So you are writing things down. You didn't go from, do you remember any of the stuff you wrote down? Give us a little taste of.
The only one that I really do remember is, I don't even remember what it was, but I remember the premise of it, and I know there was no punchline. It was about ketchup. Don't know why.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
And that was it. That's all it was. It was about ketchup. It was about how like ketchup comes in so many different packages. Like. Literally, huh?
Did they use a lot of chemicals in that hair salon?
Yes, of course. And I was bleaching my hair all the time.
Yeah.
Literally, it was about ketchup. And I remember going to work at the hair salon and being like, I wrote something really funny. It's about ketchup. And this is probably why I remember this. Because the guy I worked with was like, okay. And I was like, it's about like ketchup, man. He's like, yeah, no, I gotcha. And then what? And I'm like, it's hilarious. imagine doing that on stage. Oh my God. I never would have done stand up ever again. If that was like my first bit, like I'm going to crush it right now. And then you get up.
Probably kill in Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's right.
Ketchup is hilarious. Well,
they have those little packets too.
Yeah.
Did
so
you remember
bad.
The packets, dear?
Yeah.
The glass bottles and the squeeze bottles.
So bad. So bad.
Oh, let me tell you, the Midwest would eat it
up. Well, I'm going to do it next time. Next time I'm in the Midwest, I'm going to talk all of it. My whole set's going to be about ketchup.
Sorry to the people of Indiana.
I should,
by the way.
I know, you guys ruined it for
them. I asked you that question not to make fun, but just because like I like to put things in perspective.
Right.
Like how far people come from where they start.
Oh, God.
Like, I think people think that stand-up is like this magical business that if they try it, they're just automatically on a track for success.
No.
And it's rarefied air. It really is.
There's so much that goes into having a good bit. Like, just because you think it's funny, it's so hard to get every... Like, you want a whole room of people to understand what you think about it.
Right.
So to have that, it's really, really hard. And I think you're right. People think... Half the time people are like, oh, you just go up on stage and like, you don't even know what you're going to say.
Ketchup,
like, whoever said that? Whoever said that comedians were doing it? It's literally, first of all, that's called improv.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a separate thing. And people always are just like, oh, it's just coming off the dome. You're a genius, you know? And it's like, no, I've cried about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not easy.
So like.
I've cried about that bit that you thought was just like so like, that's so dumb, you know.
I just am so amazed at that ketchup idea because it's just the perfect example.
It's so brilliant.
No, because it's like it sums up exactly when people don't know what stand-up is.
Yeah.
When they first like, oh, you know, ketchup's a different thing. That'll be funny.
Right.
And just things like that. It's just doesn't work.
Yeah. And you don't realize like not everything that you think is funny can easily resonate with people. I'm sure if I sat down and like had to I had to write jokes about ketchup for some reason. Say like Heinz was like, we're going to give you all this money. You just have to write bits about ketchup. I could do it. And it could be funny. But why did I think that that was like the starting point? Like, this is hilarious. I have to write this down. Right. I'm never going to lose it.
So thank God you are correct. I'm
thank
with
God.
You that you didn't jump on stage.
Woo, yeah.
Because that would have been not a fun start.
Right.
How did you actually start?
I took a class at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City.
You must have had a hell of a teacher. I'm just going to say that.
It's so weird because you don't like learn, like when I say like, oh, I took a comedy class, you don't learn how to be funny.
Right.
You don't even really learn how to do stand up. You kind of just like, it was interesting because they teach you like, go to open mics. You know, your stage presence is so important. Like, just all little things about almost mm-hmm. the industry
yeah.
that are more important than, like, because nobody's going to teach you how to be funny.
Decorum.
Yeah.
In an open mic.
Exactly. You know,
like the unwritten rules of how not to be a dick.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I think that was, like, that was the first time I ever did stand up was at Gotham in the class. So, it was, like, five people. Crushed it. Killed it.
Now,
applause breaks. Imagine, could you imagine if I got applause breaks with five people
with
in the room? My first time ever doing stand up.
Well, those four didn't make it on MTV, did they?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so. No,
well, then that's the answer.
I don't know what they're up to.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes I bump into people from like when I first started, which is always nice.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people start and do it for like a couple months and then they, you know, drop off. I always feel like sometimes really, really funny people that I'll see and I'll be like, oh my God, this person has something really special. And then they just quit. Yeah. It's so weird.
You know, I think it gets back to my thesis statement earlier.
Yeah.
That business is
yeah.
just not
it's rough.
For everybody.
Nope.
Yeah, it's rough.
It eats people alive. And
right.
It's terrible to say, but it's true.
You have to have a grind too.
Especially when the goal is to make people enjoy themselves and laugh at life and have a good time. It just eats
yeah.
the soul.
It makes it so much darker. Because you're up there like, I'm sad. Let me make you guys laugh. Like, this is killing
you
me.
You see what you guys are doing? I wish I could.
Yeah.
You have to be just, I always say, to be the proper level of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't
yeah.
be too crazy, but you can't be a normal person either.
Right,
you have
right.
to be mediocre nuts.
Yeah, you have to be okay with not feeling joy all the time because you have to be okay with like rejection. If you go up and you're like, this bit always does well, I'm so excited to try this new thing out, I know it's really funny, and say you do it two times and it does well, and then you do it one, like another show
right.
and it doesn't, you have to deal with that. Like, not everybody could deal with like that level of rejection where mm-hmm. it's like, oh God, it's just the worst, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It sucks.
It really does.
Sometimes. I don't hate my... It literally sounds like I hate doing stand-up, but I don't. I love it so much.
I don't get that vibe
That's
from
the
you.
Level... What?
I don't get that vibe from you.
That I love it?
That you
oh.
hate it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
No, I really love it. I do. But, like, it's just the reality that
now,
it's hard.
I have to ask this question, just so we could find out how rarefied the air is that you are breathing. How long ago did you take this class at Gotham?
7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
And how long after that did you get Girl Code?
I was pretty new. I was really new, actually, into doing stand-up before I got on Girl Code. I was about... This is such a, like, really lucky thing, and it's so uncommon, but I was 6 months in when I got casted on Girl Code. I was 6 months into doing stand-up, but it was literally right place at the right time.
Okay.
Like, I was at a show. The creator of Girl Code was in the crowd, and I happened to have a good set. And he was like, I'm doing this new thing. We don't know if it's going to get greenlit, but, you know, we would like to have you audition for it. So I'm like, okay, cool. At that point, you don't know.
Right.
You could be like, oh, this is like...
Were people saying stuff? Like, I mean, you were down in New York.
Yeah.
You probably hear stuff like that a lot from people.
What?
We're auditioning this. We're doing that. We're going to do this.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't know what's really legit, but I knew him from a friend.
Okay.
Like, I knew that he was a legit person.
Right.
So I was like, oh, this could be really interesting. But then again, you don't know if the show's going to get picked up. You don't know if it's going to do well and stuff like that. So
sure.
There's always those, like, concerns. But
So now that I know, 6 months in, now
yeah.
I get why you stayed at the beauty salon.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I totally
exactly,
100%
because it was just, like, not real. to me. I was like, I can't believe this happened. It was just very, very lucky.
So, like, you do one season, you do two seasons, you get into the third season, you're like, you know what? It's safe to just kind of get away from it.
Yeah. Like, this is a real thing. Yeah.
And I have to say, your stand-up is fantastic.
Thank you.
I watched the show last night. I was
hiding
in the
back. Awesome.
Yeah, I came last night. I like to watch because I like to know who I'm talking
to. Of course.
And, you're a killer.
Like, thank you.
You do it in such an effortless way.
Thank you.
People, I can imagine, do say exactly what you said earlier, that, wow, you make it look like it's coming right off the top of your head.
Right, right.
You are so freaking natural in your delivery.
Thank you.
I couldn't believe it. It was, like, hurting me, my soul a little bit, because, like, it just felt, all the jokes felt like they were just coming from very organic places.
Right, right. Which they do, but it's
and
just
like. And
that's
what I want to get to next.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep going. I'm listening.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, they do come from organic. They do come from an organic place, but it's like composing it all together is where it's like difficult.
And
making
that's
sure
art,
that things go in the right places. Right.
So, like, when you first started writing jokes, you're writing about ketchup.
Right.
Of
course,
because
it was a really important thing going on in the world at the time.
And now you talk a lot about relationships.
Yeah.
And now you're talking more about life experience and things that have happened to you, friends and things like that. And
yeah.
I've noticed what I find really entertaining about you is that you are able to take just the little comments that maybe your mom said and turn it into something really great.
Yeah.
And like little things that would just fly by a lot of people. Okay, I'm really not saying this well. Please forgive me.
You're kind of a sponge in a way.
Like, in a way. Like you're picking up everything that's around you, and you're just able to put it out there in a way and just flip it enough that it just you get a laugh on, like, everything. It makes me crazy.
Yeah. Are you mad?
I'm a little angry right now.
I've never heard him rave about someone to the point that it made him angry.
Oh, thank you. I'm so honored. Honestly.
Listen, I just really... You were telling that story about, and I don't want to do or blow anything up in your act at all,
fine.
But you were just talking about how a situation where you woke up in the morning, you're thinking about breakfast.
Right.
You have somebody say the most horrible thing that you can say to somebody that you're in a relationship with ever.
Yeah.
And the way you play that scenario was masterful.
Thank you.
And Brian, you got to go to the show.
I will. I'll probably come out tomorrow night.
There's four more.
Tomorrow night, I got to go to your birthday.
That's Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Yes.
So tomorrow night, talk about mustard.
Okay. Oh, great.
Yeah, I'll talk about
mustard. I can't wait.
Yeah, relish maybe,
yeah.
If I'm going to get crazy.
We're calling it Condiment Saturday.
Yeah, condiments, yep.
Maybe some mayonnaise.
Yeah, maybe some mayonnaise if we get crazy, yep. Yeah.
Would you like to see Carly Aquilino this weekend at Comedy at the Carlson? All you have to do is call 5854-COMEDY or visit carlsoncomedy.com to get your tickets. The text line is open, folks, and... we have an interesting question that came in for you.
Okay.
This one came in from our friend Alice.
Okay.
And this is what she wanted to ask you.
Hi, Alice.
Because I know Alice. She's a very nice girl. And I think she's going through a rough time. And her question is, please ask Carly the best way to get over an ex and how you know you're dating the right guy. Love you all. That was from Alice.
Hi, Alice. The best way to get over an ex, you have to give it time. That's the only thing that works. There's no way to just kind of like cut through it, because even if I've done it where I'm like, oh, I'm so sad about this, and then I try and like distract myself, like I'll go away with my friends or I'll just like distract myself for a long time, and then at the end of the day when I stop distracting myself, it's still like that sucks, because it doesn't go away unless you just deal with it. You got to let it sit and like hurt. But I think you know you're dating the right person when... I don't know. I don't think there's ever a
way to really know.
Yeah. I think you just know. Like, I'm trying to think of a perfect... If he respects you, of course, all the good things.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know if you're dating the right person? That's, like, the hardest question.
Yeah.
Especially in the beginning, because you always think that, like, oh, this person, definitely going to marry this person.
Right.
You know? Like, there's nothing wrong with
that. Is
that
the mindset that you go into relationships with?
Well, that's how I go to first dates.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Really? I'm fascinated by this idea.
Could you imagine?
Husband until proven otherwise.
Could you imagine if that's really how I, like, what I thought when I went on a first date?
I've dated
like, hey.
Some girls like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Right from day one.
Right from day one, like, let's get married.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
He only dates high school girls, so, you know. Don't let him.
And I've taken three of them up on their offer.
Yeah. Three poor souls.
Yeah, I think in the beginning you always think a person's like, oh, this is great, this is going to work out, because you don't see, it takes time to be with someone. I think if you're with them for like 6 months and there's no major red flags, you're with the right person.
Yeah.
That's a good way to describe it, because in the beginning, of course, everybody's showing their best sides of themselves, you know?
And the thing to remember, Alice, is all men are lying.
All men are lying. All men are lying.
All men are
lying. All of them are lying. So it's like, you know, just pick the best liar.
Pick the one who's lying.
Pick the one who's better at lying.
Yes.
I was dating a guy and I was like, he like lied about something and I like was, I was so pissed about it. It was like a tiny thing that he should, I mean, it didn't even matter. But I was like, you lied. And then if someone be like, the first time someone lies, you're like, okay, you're a liar and I'm never going to look at you like you're not a liar for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. But I was talking to my friend about it and she's like, what, like, now he's a liar. I'm like, I know. And it was so dumb. And she was like, what did she say? She was like, well, he's a really bad liar, so that's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is like, that was,
yeah, that's like the pick of the litter. Like a guy who, when he's lying, you can tell.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I wasn't talking to her about that. We both saw a UFO, and we just had to right. report it to Brian together.
Right.
Back on the UFO.
That's a callback, sorry.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But, like, I guess you're right, because it depends on how bad you would like to be deceived in a relationship.
Right, right.
Would you like to really be deceived and have no idea your world
is right. at all? Blissful ignorance, would you like I like to call it.
Live in the Matrix in your relationship?
Yeah, or yeah.
Would you just like to be married to a dummy who just...
Who's
can't
just,
lie right.
Yeah, a doofus.
Yeah.
Always pick the doofus, I think.
That's what my wife did. Genius.
It's like dogs. You want a dumb one.
You always want a dumb, because they're cuter.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Oh, look at you trying to think.
So cute.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't know how the trash can works.
Right.
You're safe.
You're not supposed to drink out of that. Aw. So... I have another question for you.
Okay.
This is one that we ask everybody that comes on the show, because we have a lot of people who are trying out comedy for the first time or just kind of getting into stand-up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why we like to have these conversations, because we like to think of this as a guide to success.
Yeah.
To try to get people to kind of think about what the art is and how to get them on the right track to making them the best comics they can be if they want to be. And if some people just like good road stories.
Yeah.
So my question is this. What advice would you give to somebody who's thinking about stepping on stage for the very first time?
I think keep doing it, keep trying, because it takes a while to get comfortable in your own skin. And if you base it on the first time you ever do it, because when you first start, your drive is what like fuels you. Mm-hmm. It's not that you're doing well. It's not that you're making money. It's like a passion, right? So keep trying. Like there's no stage that's too small or like, I mean, you have to start off, you do shows in like restaurants and bars and stuff like that. That's how everybody gets into the business. So I think that definitely keep trying. Even if you get discouraged, it's just going to give you thicker skin, because that's just the way that it is always going to be. Of course, it's different as you continue,
right.
But don't, you know, just keep trying. And then I don't know. What's another good one?
Don't.
I think yeah, literally don't.
Yeah. Just don't
keep
do
trying
it.
Or like just don't try.
Go get a real job.
Yeah.
Take care of your family.
Go get a real job at a hair salon,
yeah.
Okay?
Never quit the hair salon.
Never quit the hair salon. That's also my
that
thing.
Be
never
the
quit
name
the
of this
hair
episode.
Salon.
Yeah. Never quit the hair salon.
Yeah, never quit it. Yeah, I think just keep trying and you'll get better. You'll get like you'll learn how to write jokes and it'll come more easy to you, but you know.
So what are you working on now? What other fun things are you doing these days?
I filmed a show, a second season of a show that I'm on called Safe Word. I literally don't know when it's airing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not even like I can't.
I've heard that the second season was coming.
The second season is coming. Don't know when. They literally don't tell me. They'll be like, oh, the second season aired yesterday. Like, that's what they'll do.
The whole thing.
Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, they'll be like, promote it.
I couldn't even tweet it a day late.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's coming out. And I'm just like, I actually have two different podcasts coming out, which is crazy.
I went
from 0 to 100 real quick. Mm-hmm. One of them is with Emma Willman, the very lovely Emma Willman.
Emma, former guest on the show.
Yeah. She's a muffin.
She's
a human muffin.
That is the best
and
description.
Yeah.
Just full of all the good things in life.
I love her.
And blueberries.
Yeah. So her, I have a podcast coming out with her. That's like an advice podcast where people can call in. It's called Secret Keepers Club. Mm. And that'll be out the first Monday in July. So I guess 2 weeks.
Can we submit questions in advance?
Yes. Submit questions to secretkeepersclub@gmail.com if you're listening to this and you have any questions. And then I have another podcast coming out actually with someone else that was probably on your show, Ricky Velez.
Oh, we know Ricky.
Yeah.
Is he going to wear a shirt?
So he may. He may not. Who can say? Was he not wearing a shirt when he was here?
No.
Okay.
He came in dressed kind of like George Michael.
Okay.
No shirt, leather jacket.
Yeah, no shirt, no leather jacket. He was just hanging out.
I mean, goals, though, you guys.
Listen, that guy is hysterical. I don't care what he does.
He's really, really funny.
Yeah.
We're doing a podcast called Unfollowed that's it's about like Instagram and social media, and we're like having people on. Yeah. We're having people on. We're asking them like, you know, it's kind of like making fun of the way people act on social media.
Uh-huh,
and it's like, who would you unfollow? And then we play these games where like you have to unfollow. Like if you lose, you get to unfollow someone from someone else's phone.
All right, I'm in on that one.
Or yeah. During the pilot episode, because we recorded a pilot episode that'll obviously never make it into air. But the game that we played rock, paper, scissors, and then whoever lost got to go through the other person's DMs, which I'm like, I know I'm going to lose because of course I'm going to lose.
Right.
And I lost, and he went through my DMs and like said something so crazy to this girl. And the rule is like, you can't tell them that it wasn't you. But of course I did, because he was like, suck my balls. That's what he said to the girl. He like responded to some sweet girl that like messaged me something nice, and he was like, suck my balls.
I really liked you on Girl Code.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see
and he's like, suck my balls. And I was like, he was like, you can't say anything to her. And then later on that day, I was like, that was my friend. Sounds like a lie.
Yeah.
But whatever.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Carly Aquilino big time me.
Yeah.
Told me to suck her balls.
No.
Told a random girl to suck my balls.
That's that sounds so much like Ricky that I can't wait to listen to this.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
So you're doing the podcast thing.
Yeah.
And doing stand-up. And you're doing great. We're just very happy to have you here at the club this weekend.
Thank you. I'm so excited that we did a show last night that you were at. They were really fun. I'm excited for the rest of the week.
It was a great crowd on a Thursday, too. A really good crowd.
Yeah. They're good. Like, they, like, come out and laugh.
I'm going to throw a little plug out there for your opener, too. Our pal RJ is working this weekend.
Yeah.
Mr. RJ Purpura. He's a good kid.
Very funny young man.
Yes, very funny.
So honestly, it's a winner of a weekend of shows here at the Comedy at the Carlson. We're getting ready to go into 4th of July and all that good stuff. But Carly Aquilino, can we get your Twitter handle one time?
Awesome.
To make sure we can follow you?
Yes. My Twitter handle, my Instagram, everything is just at Carly Aquilino. I know it's very shocking.
Perfect.
Yeah. People are always like, what's your
balls.
Yeah. It's suck my
it
balls
may be now. You
69.
Should check your phone again. If he's got your phone, it might be suck my
right.
balls. Right.
Yeah, I might change it if I get inspired.
That's really funny. So we'll see you at the shows this weekend.
Thank
Cam,
you.
Adequate job today back there, buddy.
Thank you.
And Brian,
he
adequate
left.
Job as usual. And we will be back in 2 weeks with Tom Green. We'll see you then, everybody. Thanks for watching. You hit the credits, Cam. The credits.
Cam, why didn't you answer?
Closer. And then hit the...